So thank you, Hamish. So despite the fact that we have seen some DTI results already, I'm going to give a brief introduction into DTMRI. So it stands for diffusion tensor magnetic resonance imaging, and it, as we have seen, it can be used to investigate the white matter structure in the living patient. So it is based on the fact that water molecules perform a constant heat motion, which we refer to as diffusion, and this motion can actually be measured since it attenuates the magnetic resonance signal in some given measurement direction. So if we would like to get an idea of how the 3D diffusion behavior looks, we can repeat the measurement in different directions and model it. And what DTMRI does, it uses a simple second-order tensor model, which corresponds to these diffusion ellipsoids. And since nerve fibers restrict the heat motion such that the strongest motion occurs in direction of the fiber, the principal direction of the ellipsoids, if it has one, tells us the likely direction of the fibers. The main restriction of this method, however, is partial voluming, because the white matter structure that we're interested in is actually much finer than the voxel resolution that we can achieve. This makes the ellipsoid model really inappropriate for cases in which in a single voxel fibers cross, they pass each other, or they diverge. However, I put the last case into brackets because we are not so much concerned with this case in our current work. And to get more information in these more difficult cases, it has been proposed to do high angular resolution diffusion imaging, which just takes measurements in a lot more directions. So you need at least 6 to do DTMRI, and high angular resolution imaging uses around 60 directions. For the analysis of this kind of data, there's no real consensus about what is the best model, but there are two models which are quite widespread and which we will consider in our work. They are called Q-ball and spherical deconvolution, and they both are working with scalar functions which are defined on the sphere and which are called ODFs. One calls them orientation distribution function, the other orientation density function, but they have the common property that they have maxima near the assumed fiber orientations. And actually, I think there is a strong demand for advanced visualization techniques for ODF fields. For example, David Tuch stated in his 2004 Q-ball paper that visualization of ODF fields presents a number of challenges, and further visualization schemes should be explored. However, since then we have seen a lot of novel VIS literature coming out about DTMRI, but hardly any on ODF fields. And I think this is due to the fact that ODF visualization presents two challenges. One of them is that already DTMRI has been considered hard because of its high information density. So in each voxel in DTI, we have a 3x3 matrix that needs to be visualized. And in ODF fields, this problem becomes even a lot harder because information density is almost one order of magnitude higher. And to illustrate this, I'm just showing typical glyph visualizations. So on the left are Gordon's superquadric glyphs, and at the given scale they are quite easy to see and to interpret. However, if we show ODF profile glyphs at the same scale, then due to the high information content, they just have so fine details that we would really have to zoom in to appreciate these details. A second problem is that DTI works with matrices, and I guess every computer science student is exposed to them in linear algebra classes during his or her education, while ODF fields really require some math that, yeah, maybe some people have not seen as part of their standard computer science education. So what has been done on ODF visualization so far? Obviously, it is inevitable to reduce the information in these ODF fields if we would like to visualize large-scale structures, because it is just so information-rich that we cannot visualize everything. And the current state of the art there is just to consider the ODF maxima. And then this allows, for example, to draw cylindric glyphs, which just indicate the maxima direction. They are a lot simpler than the full ODF glyphs, so we can visually pass more of them. Or to generalize ODF tractography, so DTI tractography to ODF tractography. However, the main point of our work is that there's a problem with just extracting maxima. And this comes from the fact that Q-ball and spherical deconvolution are actually linear models, and we should consider what happens when you add two well-defined peaks, which have clearly defined maxima, together, what happens to the maxima. So as I said, ODFs are really two-dimensional functions, but for simplicity and clarity, I'm presenting the basic concepts using simple one-dimensional functions here. So consider the given two peaks. They have clear maxima at the positions marked by vertical red lines. And if you add them up, the sum also has two maxima, but they are shifted towards each other. And it becomes even worse when one of the peaks is stronger than the other, because then the weaker peak may actually get masked. So it is lost, and there's no longer a unique maximum to it. So what we are actually facing here is an inverse problem. We are given the sum of several fiber contributions, and we need to single them out. So obviously, this is an underdetermined problem. You could come up with different suggestions which peaks may have led to the sum signal. But if we make a number of assumptions, for example, that the peaks were few, they were narrow, non-oscillating, and non-negative, then we can actually make quite usable guesses about what the original peaks were. And to do this, we propose to use a rank K tensor approximation. So I'm sorry that I have to go through two slides of math now. Well, ODFs can actually be expressed as higher order tensors. This has been done for a couple of years now, where tensor order L just denotes the number of indices that you have in a tensor. For example, a matrix has two indices, one for row, one for column, and it is a second order tensor. And higher order tensors are just tensors which have more than two indices. The tensor rank can be defined as follows. So a rank 1 tensor is one which is created as the outer product of L vectors. And if we look at the ODF, which is defined by a rank 1 tensor, then we observe that it defines a narrow, non-oscillating, non-negative peak. So this appears rather suitable to model the peaks that we are actually looking for. And in our paper, we also show that if you happen to know a better peak model, for example, from experiments or from some theory about how you think fibers should look, then you can actually map it to a rank 1 tensor. You would have to deconvolve with your better peak model and convolve with the rank 1 model. And if you choose the proper basis, then this boils down to a simple scalar multiplication. So this is really easy to do. So once we have established the fact that rank 1 tensors are really a good thing to model single fibers, then it is a direct consequence that rank K approximations should be used to represent the mixture of K fiber tracts. And rank K tensors are defined as tensors for which K is the smallest integer, such that the tensor can be written as the sum of K rank 1 tensors. And since we just have linear models here, the sum of the individual fiber contributions is exactly what we are looking for. Now, what can actually be done for rank K tensor approximation? Well, for matrices, everything is fine. We have a nice theorem called Eckert-Young theorem, which tells us that we can find a best rank K approximation by doing a singular value decomposition and setting all but the K largest singular values to zero. And for diffusion tensors, the singular value decomposition actually coincides with the eigenvector decomposition because diffusion tensors are real and symmetric. So this establishes the fact that using rank 1 tensors to approximate individual fiber contributions is actually what we have always been doing when analyzing DTMRI data. So for higher order tensors, if you look at the literature, unfortunately, things become a lot more complex. So actually, best rank K approximations there are still an open problem. And in fact, a recent result stated that best rank K approximations in the general case may not even exist. This is a topological result, actually, because De Silva and Lim were able to show that for tensors of order higher than 2 and for rank higher than 1, the set of tensors which have maximum rank K may not be closed. So the limit of tensors of rank K may not be a tensor of rank K. However, there's another result which can be found in the literature and which our practical algorithm will work on. It says that there does exist a best rank one approximation for arbitrary order, and we are even given methods to find it. So we are now going to use that to build, if not a best rank K approximation, which we know may not exist, at least one which will be usable in practice. So we are given some sum signal, the initial ODF, and we would like to pull out some rank one tensors which will represent individual fibers. So we start by just doing a rank one approximation and subtracting it out from the initial ODF. So we have a first approximation for our first fiber term and some residual which is left. So for a second fiber term, we just repeat this. We now approximate the residual and again subtract this out. And this gives a first rank one rank two approximation, so the first two fiber terms. And we can improve this even further by now adding back the fiber term 1 to the residual and approximating that again using a rank 1 tensor and subtracting it out. So this will replace our first approximation for the fiber term 1. And since we are doing a best fit in each case, we are guaranteed that the residual magnitude is actually non-increasing. And we can stop iterating this when the further improvement in residual magnitude becomes negligible. So this is something which is quite simple once you have rank one approximation, which converges, and if not the best rank K approximation, it at least gives you a usable rank K approximation. Now how do I know that this is usable? Well, we did experiments to find this out. So for validation, we started by creating synthetic data, which has the advantage that we have some ground truth there. So we used a K-tensor model to create artificial diffusion tensor or diffusion-weighted MRI data with two levels of Riesian noise. And we actually used an open software tool for this, Camino. So everybody should be able to reproduce these experiments. And the first experiment used two tracts, a cue ball model of order 4. And in all our plots, you will see that our results are given in black, and simple maximum extraction, which has been done so far, is shown in red. And it is quite easy to see that already, let's say, start at 80 degrees, the red line, the maximum extraction, exhibits a clear bias, which is due to the fact that when adding two peaks, the maxima get drawn towards each other. And let's say at 70 degrees, the maxima merge, and you cannot no longer distinguish the two fiber compartments. However, the tensor decomposition works for a far wider angular range, and also the bias is a lot reduced. And at the higher noise level, we basically see, well, as could be expected, the standard deviation is increased, but otherwise the method remains stable. In a second experiment, we tried three tracts, which is actually known to be a hard problem when you try to analyze this using K-tensor estimation. We now used spherical deconvolution and a higher order, order 6. And, well, the basic result is that the method remains feasible even for three tracts, and again, the angular range is improved and the bias is improved. So finally, of course, in real data, we do not know beforehand if we should expect two or three fiber tracts. So we try to come up with a heuristic to decide on this, which just tells us when to stop adding more fiber terms. And on the synthetic data, we found that this works really nice, even if we add more noise to it. Whereas what has been done so far, just counting the number of above average ODF maxima, really has severe problems already on synthetic data. So all this was synthetic data, so I also want to show some results on real data. So the data set we had there was a diffusion-weighted data set at a b-value of 1,000, so this is not too much, and 60 directions, deterministic fiber tractography, and the first experiment was to try and reconstruct the transcallosal fibers of the corpus callosum, which was interesting because we knew from anatomy that they should be there, but they are basically never found by common tractography methods. And as expected, DTMRI and simple maximum tracking could not reconstruct them, but tensor decomposition actually could. and also not just on the single axial slice that I'm showing here, but also if you see it along the full corpus callosum and look at it from above, you see that these fibers are found basically along the full length of it. So the second experiment tried to reconstruct triple crossings, which is also a difficult problem. So the first experiment was the triple crossing of corticospinal tract, corpus callosum, and SLF. And we see that in the maxima tracking case, the red fibers which belong to the corpus callosum are really blocked at the intersection, whereas they go straight through it in the tensor decomposition case. Also, yeah, experiment 2b, if you want, is the decussation of the superior cerebellar peduncles. So it actually has two parts which cross in the brainstem. And additionally, through this crossing, some fibers of the corticospinal tract run. So also in this case, tensor decomposition could help to get a more reliable reconstruction of this crossing situation. Actually, this has been a very active topic this year, and there have been two works which are too recent to be reflected in our paper, but I briefly want to mention them at least in the talk. One was at this year's MICAI on computing the underlying fiber directions from the diffusion orientation distribution function. It's actually very similar to our work in that it uses a higher order tensor formalism and also tries to generalize the eigendecomposition to these higher order tensors. However, they use a different generalization, which actually coincides with extracting the ODF maxima. And the basic point, or the main point of our work, was to show that extracting ODF maxima is not actually the best we can do. And a second work, which I think is more interesting in this respect, was a recursive algorithm to decompose ODFs and resolve intravoxel fiber directions. So these authors proposed to subtract out single fiber tracts recursively, which is algorithmically quite similar to what we are doing, but they are not doing this in a higher order tensor context, and they are not relating this to Ranke approximations. And I would love to see how this compares in terms of results to our approach, but unfortunately so far this is just a one-page abstract, so there are not enough details to actually reproduce it and give a detailed comparison. So to conclude, I've shown that Ranke higher order tensor approximation is really a nice and principled approach to estimate crossing fibers from ODFs. It generalizes the eigenanalysis that we have always worked with in DTMRI. We have suggested a practical algorithm to find such an approximation. And in experiments, we have shown that this algorithm actually improves bias and the angular range on synthetic data, and also gives plausible results and allows to reconstruct novel tracts that we could not find before on real data. So in the end, this is the two-line take-home message of this talk. If you want to do ODF visualization, and I think that more people should be doing it, you actually need to reduce the data because it's just too information-rich, and you should not do this by simply reducing the data to ODF maximum. So a number of people I would like to thank. Alfred Anwander has provided the data and also discussed the results with me. Also, Holger Theiser has discussed some points with me. Then I've used software, team software by Gordon and Camino by Danny Alexander. The MPC VCC has funded my research. And finally, I would like to thank all of you for listening to me, and I'm looking forward to your questions.